now for our feature presentation.
And splatter kings, welcome to the Bloody Machete.
Hello and welcome to the Bloody Machete, your home for horror, gore, and so much more. What a special day for our first episode, All Hallows Eve. What's better than Halloween? It's my favorite holiday. It's your favorite holiday. Fuck. It is everyone's favorite holiday. What's not to love? All the ghouls come out at night. All the children come out to get a fright. There's tons of candy. There's tons of scares. There's monsters in the air. Fuck, I am rhyming like a poet. So, on this episode, we're gonna take a look at a couple things. First off, I think we should talk about Halloween. You know, it's a special night for everybody. We all have our favorite memories, so I think I'm going to talk to you about some of your favorite memories, some of my favorite memories. As well, we're going to look into what we asked on our Twitter account. We asked what your earliest memory of horror was, so we're going to read a couple of those out. As well, I'm going to go into my first movie review, which is an excellent film, The Witch. The 2015 period horror piece by Robert Eggers in his directorial debut. What a phenomenal film. If you can't tell already, I thoroughly enjoyed this film. In fact, I was going to discuss another film for the first podcast, but I was out for coffee with a friend earlier today, and we started talking about this movie, and I couldn't shut the fuck up about this movie. It is so well done. There's not a lot bad to say about this film, but we'll discuss it and we'll see. Maybe there's some downsides to it, but overall, I think there's a lot of up points and we're going to discuss that. So why don't we get into it now?
Johnny?
You're still afraid.
Stop it now, I mean it.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
So allow me to introduce myself. My name is Father Drinks McGee, Father Murder McGee, but most people just call me Red. And I believe last time I told you about my first experience with horror movies. Ah, Children of the Corn, you bastard. But I asked you, the listeners, to tell me about your first horror experiences. So we got some replies here on our Twitter, at a bloody machete. And let me go ahead and read what some of the listeners had to say. So this one comes from Eric. I know Eric, at hepatitis A to Z. I forget how old I was. My cousin rented Motel Hell, and I remember being freaked out by the head garden and the casual cannibalism. Ah, yeah, that's a classic movie. And I hope that it's taught you to delve into some cannibalism. I was actually talking about this the other day with a friend of mine, and I would be more than willing to try human flesh. If it were made, like, legal or something, obviously I'm not going to go out and randomly murder and eat someone. Dun, dun, dun. But we'll save that for another story. All right, let's see what we've got next. We've got at Newfie Scumbag, who wrote, I remember the tent titty scene from Friday the 13th. My babysitter let me watch horror movies in the early 90s. Never forget my first titty. I'm curious, did you only see one titty, or was it not a pair? Or do you only remember one? Was one better than the others? I don't recall. Well, let's see what else we've got here. Next one comes from at Parasite Hilton. My parents were watching Communion when I was 7 and had told me to stay out of the room. I entered during the infamous peeking scene. I was terrified, yet obsessed. Oh yes, Christopher Walken and aliens. Christopher Walken automatically makes everything better. Even the horrible movies that he's been in, Christopher Walken makes things better. It's been years since I've seen Communion. I remember it being not the best movie in the world, if I recall correctly, but Christopher Walken, aliens, you can't really go wrong with that. All right, let's see what else we've got here. Moving on, we've got at Wicked Mike HD. I remember going to see Halloween when I was 8 at the drive-in. Still my favorite horror movie to this day. Well, it's an absolute classic, and yeah, the drive-in. Our next one comes from at Sunflower Girl 1975. She writes, I was at a slumber party when I was 10 years old. All the girls wanted to watch a Friday the 13th marathon. I slept curled up behind the recliner, thinking, if that bastard comes in here, those girls laying on the living room floor will get it, while I stay safe back here. LOL. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Jason would get you. Very rarely will you ever get away. Usually, what, one, maybe two people per movie get away, so chances are you're going to see a machete or a spear go through some part of your body. I know in the movies we didn't generally see him kill young people, but I would imagine that Jason would kill young people. He spared some dogs, but I think he would probably hack a 12-year-old, a 10-year-old, whatever it may be, into little pieces. And that's why we love Jason, and that's why Friday the 13th is a classic franchise. All right, we've got the last one here, and this comes from my good friend Abigail. Abby, her Halloween name right now is Abortion, and we all know her as Kissabix. And she writes, my sister told me Silence of the Lambs was about a farm, so she wouldn't be alone when she watched it. She was 16 and I was 12. She ended up hating moths. I ended up collecting them from charity shops or car boots. We call them trunks here, Abby. It hasn't had a mental impact on me at all. I'm totally normal. You are the most normal person I know. And I'm currently not saying that with a straight face. Well, those are some awesome stories, and I've got to hear a couple others, unfortunately. Not gonna have time to go into them all, but everyone seems to have a very lasting memory of horror movies, and it does make an impact, especially when you're young. I mean, that shit sticks with you. And that's what it's all about. So that's great. So we're going to talk a little bit about Halloween, not the movie, the holiday itself, pretty soon. And we're going to find out what you guys think about Halloween and what your favorite memories are. And what do you like about Halloween? What really drives it home for you? And we'll do that very, very shortly. So I'm going to shut the fuck up right now. Let's make a segue.
You remember the fun we had when you poisoned me?
Something you ate, the doctor said.
Yes, arsenic on the rocks. Annabelle, you'd do it again if you thought you could get away with it, wouldn't you?
Darling, what makes you think that?
Something about you. I hear that hanging is very uncomfortable, in case you get any more ideas. Don't let the ghosts and the ghouls disturb you, darling.
Darling, the only ghoul in the house is you.
Halloween. What a magical time. I can't think of any time of the year that makes me feel as happy. There's just something in the air, that crispness of fall, the leaves coming down. Hell, even here we get the occasional snowfall. It's just that turning of the season. And it just makes me fucking happy inside. But there's so many things about Halloween when I think back in the memories that I've had. I mean, there's obviously the trick-or-treating, coming home with tons of fucking candy. There's those teenage years where you go out and you do parties. We used to go out into the graveyards and cemeteries, and we'd drink and we'd smoke drugs and make out. And I mean, there's so many fun things. I mean, I can think back to the time when my mom would make my costumes and One year I was Batman. One year I was Doctor Who. One year I was Harpo fucking Marx. That has to be my favorite costume of all time. I didn't dress in horror costumes. I think I did a vampire one year, but I just didn't really go for the horror costumes. But the story I'm going to tell you about Halloween with me has nothing to do with trick-or-treating, nothing to do with the parties. It was roughly, I would think, the year 1998 or 1999. My girlfriend and I decided we were going to take a trip to Niagara Falls. All the glitz and glamour. I laugh because it's not so glitz and glamour. It's touristy and cheap and pretty fucking horrible, if you ask me. But we had heard about this haunted house out there, so we said, we're going to take a trip. So we brought another couple with us, and we made the trip down the QEW and ended up in Niagara Falls. Now, this place was called Screamers, and I had heard from so many people, it's terrifying, it'll chill you, it'll make you, well, fucking scream. So we parked the car, and we ended up walking down this god-awful fucking stretch of just tourist traps. You've got your awful wax museums, and you just cheesy garbage that no one rightfully wants to spend their fucking money on. So we go and we find Screamers. So we go inside and they explain what it is. It is a very, very dark walk that you take. There will be noises. There will be jump scares. You'll be startled. It'll be terrifying. Now, for most people who know me, it's very hard for me to get scared. Now, there are a few movies that have absolutely terrified me. I can think of one or two that have just left me kind of fucking traumatized. That's a story for another day. But back to this. So we go in through these big double doors that swing open, and you enter this dark corridor. And at first, you can just see it. It's black, and it goes down. But then the doors close behind you, and all the light goes away. You need to follow these little red dots to show you where you're going. So we hear breathing, and we hear banging on the walls. It's supposed to absolutely terrify. Now, I can feel hands grabbing me, and I know it's the hands of the people I'm with. My girlfriend is in front of me. The other couple is behind me. They're grabbing my back. She's grabbing my front. Now, this flash goes off, and what that flash actually is they take a picture of you. They want to show how much they terrify everybody. So they have this wall of just pictures that they put up in the front to show, oh, these are all the people and how scared they are. Now, I wish I had this picture. This picture was brilliant. I'm standing there looking stoic, and the three of them are screaming and just ripping my clothing. Oh, it was beautiful. If I had it, I would frame it. I would put it on the mantle. I would show the whole world. Oh, it was such a good fucking picture. But back to the story. So we're walking through and we get to another room and there's no red light. And you can feel someone else in the room with you. And he's walking around in circles and he's breathing. You can feel things touching you. There might have been more than one person. I don't know. But I can hear the other three people. They're all freaked out. Okay, let's keep going. So it opens up and you can see this part where there's a fake car that comes running at you. And there's tilted hallways and the walls are mirrored and things are just there to disorient you. So you walk through this little part. And then you get to another part where it's pitch black again. So here, they try to amp up the feeling that there are people in there with you. So there's more breathing, there's more sinister laughing. One of these particular people, monsters if you will, reached out and grabbed my leg and caught just under the cuff of my jeans and grabbed bare leg. His fingernails were a little bit longer than perhaps they should have been, and he dug in, and it felt like he was stabbing me in the leg with his nails. So instincts sort of kicked in for me, and I turned around and I kicked him hard. And I was wearing a pair of low-cut Docs at the time. And I kicked him square on, I'm assuming the chest. And I hear this thud, and he goes down, and there's whoa as he hits. Next thing I know, I feel someone grab me from behind, and I feel multiple sets of hands on me. I get thrown up against the wall. So obviously, these monsters have night vision goggles. They have voice modulator boxes, and I can hear no kicking in my ear. So I'm yelling back. I'm like, well, if you didn't cut my leg, I wouldn't have kicked you, you stupid, blah, 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 blah. So I just feel all these hands. There could have been two guys. There could have been three guys, four guys. I don't even know at this point because I can't see a goddamn thing. And I get dragged out of the place. And I go to the main lobby. And the manager is there. And they can't believe what I've done. They're horrified. We can't allow this kind of violence here at Screamers. And so they have the picture there. The picture that I was talking about before. And that was the picture that went up when I got my lifetime ban from Screamers for violence. I lifted up my pant leg. I showed him where the skin broke. And there was blood on my leg from this fucking werewolf motherfucker. Oh, I swear a lot when I think about this memory. It's crazy. So, I don't know if my face is still up there on the band wall. I don't look like I did when I was that old anymore. I've got facial hair. I'm a lot fatter. If it's still even there, I could probably get in now. But I love telling the story about how I got a lifetime ban for kicking a monster. So that's my favorite Halloween memory. Might not be a happy memory. It's not a sad memory. I think it's just one of those weird memories that just sticks with you. So I want to hear, what's your Halloween memory? It doesn't have to be a good memory. It doesn't have to be anything like that. Just something that's stuck with you, something that's memorable. Did something weird happen to you? Did something creepy happen when you were trick-or-treating as a kid? Did something odd happen when you were partying late at night outside with your friends? I want to know. So you can either write us on Twitter at A Bloody Machete. You can email us at abloodymachete@gmail.com. Or if you're listening on the Anchor app, you can just leave us a message and we will listen to it as soon as we can. So, coming up after a short little intermission, we're going to go into our movie, The Witch.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to violence.
I mean, sometimes murder is the only answer. It's the thing that jazzes you. It's the thing that makes you who you are. Sometimes you just want to wrap your fingers around their neck. And you want to slowly squeeze. You want to feel them struggle.
The Puritans, those fun-loving bastards. Let's go back to the 1630s. New England, religious fanaticism, rituals, carving a new life in a new world. These are all things that are explored in Robert Eggers' 2015 film, The Witch. Now, this movie, it stands out to me. It is a beautiful period horror piece. And it's one of those films that relies so heavily on atmosphere. Like, jump scares are fine, right? Like, you can build a horror movie on jump scares. But at the end, I think it's a gimmick. And you walk out of the film going, oh, remember when that thing jumped out? And you went, oh my God, I wasn't expecting that. But it's not going to leave you sitting at night replaying it over and over and over. You need to build that sort of atmosphere that just, it fills you as you watch it. You feel the hairs on your arms stand up. There's very few films I can think of that do this for me. And I'm thinking The Exorcist was one, definitely. I'm going to argue The Ring. Let's go on. There's Dark Water, the Japanese version, obviously not the American version. A Tale of Two Sisters, a great Korean horror film. They build suspense, they build tension, and there's a lot of things that they use in these films to do that. So music, lighting, the camera work alone sets this tone. So this movie is about a family, and they are clearly Puritans, but they're a little more radical, the father's ideas at least, than the community in which they're in. So the community ostracizes them, says, you fucking psychos, we don't want you here. So they decide that they're going to go out into the woods and they're going to build their own little area, and they're going to farm and they're going to live their existence under God here. As they go, we have the father, William, who is played by Ralph Ineson, who's a wonderful actor. The mother is Catherine, played by Kate Dickey. You have the older daughter, who is Anya Taylor-Joy, plays Thomason. Fuck, I love that name. That's a great Puritan name, isn't it? Thomason. And then you have the twins, Mercy and Jonas. And fuck their kids. I'm not even going to name who played them. And then they have an infant. Now, when they're carving out this land and they're making their own, Thomason, who is caring for the kids to a very large degree, as I would imagine would be proper at the time for an older sister to do, she is playing peekaboo with the infant near the edge of the woods, probably a couple hundred meters off from the edge of the woods. And as she's playing peekaboo, one time she pulls her hands away and the infant is gone. Now, they don't know what's happened to the infant, but they suspect that the infant is in the woods somehow. So these woods become a character unto themselves. They become an ominous dark omen. You know, that standard, don't go into the woods. And I love this because there's a bit of paranoia in this film. Is there something really horrifically wrong waiting in the woods? Or is this just odd belief? Was the baby taken off by a wolf or something? Which, given the time frame that this all happened in, if it was a wolf, that was a fast fucking wolf. So they feel that, okay, this is what happens. Bad things happen. You can tell they're hurt, but they move on and they try to please God, living a strict Puritan life and farming the land, but the crops aren't really coming in. And William believes that it's because they're not devout enough and that they have to have more faith in God, which, you know, to any rational human being, that's fucking crazy, but, you know, Puritans, that's what they did. So anyways, he decides that he is going to take his son into the woods to go trap for animals because they need food. They need to survive. So he takes his son out in the woods and they put down all these traps and they come back and they lie about going into the woods because, you know, don't go into the woods. And Catherine would be furious if
she knew that they had gone to these dark, evil woods. So, as they're struggling, there's a massive fight over a missing cop, which it turns out later on in the film, you find out that William has hawked to get some money so that they can survive just a little bit. And there's this massive blowout, and Caleb, the son, says, I'm going to go out into the woods, and I'm going to get all of the animals that we've trapped in these various traps. And Thomasin finds him trying to take a horse to go out, and she says, well, I'm coming with you, and if you don't let me come with you, I'll tell Mom and Dad. So Caleb, of course, says, okay, let's fine, don't rat on me, you know, don't be a bitch like that. And they go out into the woods. Now, I'm not going to go into much further detail of the events, because I don't want to spoil it if you haven't seen this film. But let's just say that there are sinister things at play, and this builds and builds, and it crescendos to this ending that it's one of the best endings in a horror film I've seen in a long time. Like, my God, it just left me feeling awestruck. And I can't remember the last time I turned off a movie and just sat there going, oh my God, what did I just witness? This is amazing. You know, dissonant strings, the lighting, the use of animals as symbolism in this film. Oh my God, that big black goat. Oh my God, Black Phillip. He stayed with me. So please do yourself a favor and watch this film. It's beautifully written. The language is wonderful. The characters, you feel for them. And it doesn't seem like a weird judgment of Puritan times like you would get in, say, something like The Crucible. So, anyways, it is on Netflix now. Please, go and watch The Witch. Do yourself a favor. It's going to be a wonderful experience for you. So, yeah. We'll find out what we're going to do next week. Next week. Well, whenever the fuck the next episode comes out. I've got a new film for you, and I know what it's going to be. And it's a good one.
She's in danger. You must stop her before it is too late.
Okay, as soon as the cops get here, we'll take
her. Oh, you fool, you fool. Miss Darling will kill her and tear her body to shreds.
Miss Darling, kill Mary?
Miss Darling is not a human being any longer. The enzymes have changed her. She will destroy the girl as a female wasp would destroy her enemies, and then devour the remains.
And that is it for The Bloody Machete, your home for horror, gore, and so much more. I hope you had fun listening to this. I had a lot of fun doing this. It's a subject matter I really do like to talk about. So, you know, if you've got anything that you want to talk about or any ideas for what we could do for the show, you know, send them along here. Like I said, you can follow us on Twitter at A Bloody Machete. You can DM us, you can write on. We're going to have lots of tweets that have to do with subject matters. We'll have some polls, so you can definitely write us there. There is the email. You can do it. BloodyMachete@gmail.com. Also, again, if you are listening on the Anchor app, you can leave us a message there, and we'll get back to you as soon as we can. So we're going to leave it there, but next time we'll come back. We've got another movie review for you. We're going to take a look, hopefully, at some of your Halloween memories. We're going to ask more questions. We'll go on from there. And that's all we have time for. So take care of yourselves, my splatter kings and my gore whores. And let the music play you out.